back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and today we're going to dive into why Nebraska has a legitimate shot at playing in the Big Ten championship game. Now, 2023 for Nebraska was an insane, incomprehensible season, just from any way you can really look at it. It was the Murphy's Law of football. I mean, every single game seemed like a loop, repeat nightmare of the previous one. Nebraska lost the turnover battle in 10 of 12 games, and they had an unprecedented negative 17 turnover margin. That ranked 131st in the entire country. If you were religious and a Cornhusker fan, you probably questioned your faith numerous times throughout the season. Well, I have good news, because after this episode today, you're going to look at Nebraska at 25-1 to make the Big Ten title game, and you're going to think, well, that's a little more plausible than I would have thought. So buckle up. We're going to dive into their offensive and defensive returning production. We're going to dive into their abysmal quarterback play, and we're going to look at some positive regression that is definitely coming their way and why all these things combined can make for a Cinderella-type season for Nebraska. All right, first things up, the offensive returning production profile for Nebraska is as follows. They rank 25th in offensive overall returning production, and their 2023 offensive S&P Plus ranking was 122nd. Pretty awful. Does not get much worse than that, especially for a power four conference team. Now, they're ranking 9th in receiving yards returning production, 17th in offensive line snaps returning production, and 74th in rushing yards returning production. Now, I'm going to touch base on a couple of their offensive advanced statistics in 2023. They're really bad. Their success rate, overall success rate, was 112th. Their overall explosiveness was 70th. The rushing success rate, 85th. Their rushing explosiveness, 74th. Their passing success rate, 124th. And they ranked 129th in point per opportunity per game. That's just bad. There's really no other way to slice it. Just awful. And when you pair that with, you know, just some unbelievable, you know, just outlier type statistics. For instance, they had 31 fumbles. That is almost 3 fumbles a game. You just can't overcome something like that on the regular. They're 0-4 in one-score games. Again, as I mentioned in the introduction, their turnover margin, negative 17. And their fumble luck, negative 3.04, which ranked 117th. Now, we're going to dive into the abysmal quarterback play shortly. But let's look at some positives, and let's take a look at the defensive side of the ball and their returning production and correlating statistics. Defensive returning production, they rank 26th in overall returning production. Their 2023 defensive S&P Plus ranking was 6th. Now, they're returning, they're 33rd in pressures returning, 43rd in stops returning, and 45th in forced incompletions. Now, I'm going to read off these defensive advanced statistics for you, and that's probably going to shock you because it shocked me when I looked at it. Their overall defensive success rate, 22nd. Overall explosiveness allowed, 18th. Overall havoc rate, 18th. Front seven havoc rate, 29th. Defensive back havoc rate, 20th. Defensive rushing success rate, 18th. Rushing explosiveness allowed, third, passing success rate 30th, passing explosiveness allowed 35th, and defensive points per opportunity per game allowed 28th. Now, that's a lot of statistics to take all at once, and if you don't have a pen and a piece of paper, you know, it's hard to keep up with, right? But let me put it in perspective for you. There were only two teams in the entire country that ranked top 40 in all 10 of those advanced defensive statistics. Nebraska is one of them, and the only other team was national champion Michigan. Now, this defense for Cornhusker fans is eerily reminiscent of the 1990s blackshirt defenses because this is the identity of the team. And their success this year, you know, will be determined on that type of elite production again. Now, their ceiling is going to be determined on their offensive improvement. Now, I'm going out on a limb here. Nebraska can arguably have the best defense in the Big Ten, even better than Ohio State. And Ohio State has a very good returning production profile. But they have the potential to be the best defense in the Big Ten, and they will be a top 10 defense again this year. I don't feel like that is a hot take at all. Now, let's kind of dive in to what I was talking about when it comes to how bad the quarterback play was. And that will be the most significant factor in Nebraska's offense improving is going to be the upgrade at quarterback. Now, last year, they only had one quarterback who qualified with 125 dropbacks. His name, Heinrich Harburg. And he arguably was the worst quarterback in college football. All right, so if you've tuned in to any of our previous episodes when we were evaluating quarterback profiles, you're going to be familiar with the metrics we're going to, you know, list off here. We're going to use the kept clean PFF grade, under pressure PFF grade, and then a depth profile, you know, deep attempts, medium attempts, short. And then I have my own metrics, Mickey Mouse attempts and big dog attempts, which, you know, gives you an indication of the confidence that, you know, the coaching staff has in the quarterback and whether or not they're going to try to protect them with safe throws. So let's dive right in. His kept clean PFF grade, 158th. Kept clean QB rating, 156th. This is out of 162 qualifying quarterbacks. I mean, just take a minute to let that sink in. You have Nebraska, which from all measures is definitely a top 40 program in college football. I don't think you could really get any pushback on that. But to have a quarterback that's putting up those numbers is just eye-opening. Now, his deep attempts percentage, 25th. His deep PFF grade, 162nd. Absolute dead last. His deep QB rating, 152nd. Medium attempts, 90th. Medium PFF grade, 126th. Medium QB rating, 108th. Now, surely you're thinking, okay, well, we're getting to the short attempts. There has to be, he has to be good at something. No. Below average at short attempts also. 99th in short attempts percentage, 86th in PFF grade, and 120th in short QB rating. Again, this is out of 162 qualifying quarterbacks. What's more eye-opening to me is the fact that the coaching staff was not trying to protect him. They were trying to let him, you know, be free as a quarterback and open up the offense and throw the ball down the field. And I mean, in reality, in hindsight, they probably should have protected him because he was horrendous. But that's where we have our upgrade. Incoming freshman Dylan Raiola is the second rated quarterback via 247 Sports in his class. Now I'm going to read an excerpt from his high school scouting report by Andrew Irvins. And I quote, ballyhooed quarterback with an NFL caliber arm and an imposing frame that has what it takes to be the centerpiece of an offense. Owns one of the best, if not the best, deep balls in the cycle and can touch all different corners of the field. Lethal when operating off of play action, has taken valuable snaps under center, end quote. This is the exact kind of quarterback Matt Rhule's offense needs. Remember, this offense does not need to be a top-tier offense. They don't have to be top 30 for Nebraska to compete. They just need to be better than 2023. And there is no universe in all of the galaxy, in all of the solar systems, all the world, where they're not better next year. Lastly, the last thing that comes into this thought process is Nebraska plays the second easiest schedule in the Big Ten. They avoid Oregon, Penn State, and Michigan. Now, their most challenging games are all on the road, and they will be against Ohio State, USC, and Iowa. Now, I'm a realist. They're not beating Ohio State in Ohio State. That's just not going to happen. But the other two games are definitely within reach. You have USC transferring into the Big Ten, losing a ton of production, a ton of, you know, quality production. Obviously, Caleb Williams is gone. Mm-hmm. And then you have Iowa, who had one of the luckiest seasons. I mean, 5-1 in win-loss, 5-1 in one-score games. Just had a defense that carried their whole team. And then on the flip side of that, you have Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and Oregon. You know, they're going to end up playing a lot of each other. You know, Oregon and Ohio State will play each other. You know, Michigan's going through an entire coaching change regime, along with losing championship production. And, you know, Penn State, I mean, forgive me for saying, is Penn State. They haven't broken through since I've been alive, and I'm 34 years old. So that leaves really your only contenders are Ohio State and Oregon, and they're going to play each other. So if Nebraska has if they can go 7-1 or 6-2, they have a legitimate chance at playing in the Big Ten. And that's not just some like hopeful, optimistic point of view. That's a realistic point of view. If their offense improves even to the average level in S&P Plus, this team, you know, the sky is the limit. They have the most positive regression coming their way in volatile statistics. And the defense is legitimately good. They are an elite unit, and there's not a ton of returning production in the Big Ten that is elite. Now, I know that Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and Michigan all have higher win totals. They're 9.5, 10.5. But to think that Nebraska, whose win total is 7.5, cannot, you know, surpass that by 2 to 3 wins, that's not inconceivable. So at 25-1 for them to make the Big Ten championship game is not a fairy tale pick. They have a legitimate path and they have legitimate talent. Now, if you want to look more into the statistics that I presented you with in the case, I have the correlating article to this episode on my website at themittnermethod.com. And we are going to keep going through, you know, conference previews and dark horse teams and playoff picks as the month goes on and into the season. And that's all I have for today. So thank you for listening and take care.